Hello and welcome to the Anti-Football Podcast. My name's Chris, and the final time for the 2019-2020 Premier League, I'm joined by Harry. The season is wrapped up, the season is finished, and yeah, this is a very interesting, intriguing season, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could say it was a very stop-start.
Yeah, mainly because it stopped for 3 months. But yeah, like, it's been very intriguing. Obviously, we had, you know, obviously Liverpool running away with it. Likes of Wolves and Sheffield United bursting up the table. We had, you know, the likes of West Ham, you know, big clubs being down there in the relegation, scrapping it, ending up coming to the final day, you know. And obviously, the race for the top four as well between Leicester, Chelsea and Man U went to the final day. So basically, this episode, we're just going to go through all the teams in the league and just give our thoughts on the season. And yeah. So, I mean, we'll start with Liverpool. I mean, not too much to say. They were the best team by a mile.
Yeah, maybe a few miles.
Mm.
And they didn't even have to spend that much money. I think they only brought in that Van der Bergen.
Well, they brought in Adrian, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
And didn't they bring in, what's his face? From Salzburg in January.
Oh, yeah, Minamino, yeah.
Yeah, that's his name. Yeah, I mean, you know, it just shows, you know, the trust that Klopp had in that squad. Because at the end of the day, you know, we're saying, oh, that, you know, they need to improve because Man City are, you know. That squad got 97 points last season. You know, 99 times out of 100, that is enough to win a Premier League. It was just that Man City were absolutely insane during that season as well. So when Man City, you know, still have a really good season, when they drop off and Liverpool remain at that level, you know, they're obviously going to run away. I mean, obviously, you know, they've binned off the domestic cups in the process and got knocked out pretty early on in the Champions League. But the main focus was the Premier League. That was the main target for Liverpool. And yes, you know, brilliant season for him.
Agreed. I couldn't find any flaws in the team until the last sort of post-January.
Mm.
Where the likes of Atleti, Watford, Chelsea and City were basically able, once that defence was exposed once, they were able to do it again and again.
Mm. I think part of that... Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I think part of that was probably due to the fact that they'd already won the league, so there wasn't really much to play for.
Yeah, but I mean, Chelsea beat them in the FA Cup, Atleti beat them in the Champions League, Watford smashed them 3-0 before they picked up what had officially won it.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to diminish all away from that. What I'm saying is, you know, the performances against City, against Burnley, against Arsenal, you know, had they been regular games, had they been six-pointers, you know, we'd have definitely seen a better performance at least, you know.
Yeah, I agree. But those flaws, those sort of cracks were, well, not trying to blow my horn, but I saw them before they won the league. Because Atleti, they knew they had just had to set up a really, really solid defensive plan and catch them on the counter, and that's how they won. Chelsea did the same in the FA Cup.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is not reliance on the wings. I don't think that would be fair. But the majority of their creativity, their attacking output, it comes from the wings. You know, Salah and Trent on the right, Robertson and Mane on the left. You know, you have Firmino dropping off. But he only has, you know, one goal at home all season. You know, you have Henderson being solid, you know, not player of the year worthy, but, you know, a very solid option in the middle of the park. You know, the likes of Wijnaldum, Milner, Naby Keita as well. You know, post-lockdown, he was really good. But the majority of their attacking output has come from the wings. And that's somewhat, you know, they don't need to do much, Liverpool, because at the end of the day, they did get 99 points. But I would like to see one or two signings from Liverpool for that middle of the park.
Yeah, they did seem a bit thin on the ground there, yeah.
Oh, sorry, just a second. Dad, I'm recording. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was just saying they felt a bit slim on the thin on the ground. In terms of midfield, they just didn't have many options. And it seems there's going to be numerous exits this summer. So, yeah, I'd expect them to make a bit of a splash in the market, mainly up top, because I think Origi and Shaqiri will be leaving.
There has been quite a few names that have left. Obviously, Adam Lallana has obviously gone to Brighton. James Milner, he's been out of contract. And the likes of, you know, Shaqiri, Origi, Harry Wilson, they're all been linked with moves away from Anfield. So I think it's inevitable that we will see at least a striker coming in. Because, you know, take out those names and you've got Minamino up front. And that's really your only rotation option. So, you know, I think Liverpool definitely missed the boat a bit with Timo Werner. I feel like he would have...
What about Ben Woodburn?
I thought he'd already gone. I could be mistaken, but I thought they got rid of him, Ben Woodburn.
Oh, a bit weird move, because he was good and matches I saw.
Yeah. Oh, they do have Rian Brewster. I forgot about him, who's really impressed at Swansea. He's had a good season.
I don't like him, his ego. I remember him having a haircut or something with the Champions League trophy, and he was like, you didn't even play.
Wasn't that Harvey Elliott?
No, that was definitely Rian.
Oh, right. But...
Yeah, that's another one, Harvey Elliott.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Ben Woodburn is with Liverpool.
All right. So they do have some young prospect, but I feel like the likes of Harvey Elliott, the likes of Curtis Jones as well is another name. They could do with loan moves to the Championship, like what Brewster's had this season. Because Brewster has impressed, you know, no matter what you think of his ego, he has had a good season for Swansea. And all the best players have ego. Most of the best players then.
Okay. Or Kevin De Bruyne. There's been a few names linked in that midfield position, like Coutinho, Thiago. I can't remember who else it was. Have they offered a contract to Willian?
Liverpool? I don't think so.
Arsenal did.
It looks like he's set to join Arsenal. I know he owns a cafe in London with David Luiz. And he has the same agent as like five or six Arsenal players, so it's looking like an almost certainty that he's going to be going to Arsenal.
Well, as long as we get Kai Havertz, then I don't really.
Yeah, but like you're saying, there are quite a few names being linked with.
Oh yeah, that's it. They're linked with Jamal Lewis as well today.
Oh yeah. I've seen a lot of people. Comparing that to Robertson, you know, obviously Robertson got relegated with Hull and then was snapped up by Liverpool. The difference is, though, that Hull weren't asking for 30, 40 million. You know, would Liverpool be willing to pay?
No way.
Yeah, they're wanting mental prices for their young players at Norwich. You know, and would Liverpool be willing to pay 30, 40 million for someone who will essentially be backup? Or a rotation option at best, when they're not spending that on first team players.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's not like left back's a position that needs improving. It just could do with another name there, especially with Milner leaving. I think that's a mistake, personally. I think, you know, any club in the league would do well to have James Milner, to be quite honest with you.
Well, another name that was linked to Liverpool was Victor Osimhen, but as of today, he's completed a move to Napoli for 74 million. COVID-19 price crash doesn't seem to be spends.
Well, at least in the in terms of the top clubs, you know, they won't be too affected by it. I feel like we will see a lot of lower league teams be affected by it. But no, for the top clubs, they're not going to be losing out to.
They're also linked with Diego Carlos and Ayesa Mandi. centre backs because Lovren's gone to Zenit, I believe I read.
Yeah, for 15 million, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're also linked with Lloyd Kelly, which is a bit of a odd one.
I mean, he's done all right at Bournemouth. You know, obviously coming in from Bristol, can play left back and centre back. Similar to Joe Gomez, who can play right back and centre back. You know, he's a young player. He's only 22, I believe. And you know, it'll likely not cost more than the 15 million that Bournemouth paid for it.
The guys that I'm seeing linked with Liverpool are really young, like Harvey Barnes, Ozan Kabak, Ismail Assar.
Well, they don't need many big names to Liverpool. They don't really need people who are gonna, you know, walk straight into that first team. Because at the moment, obviously, we're pre-transfer window. We're about a week in, but at this moment in time, they do have the strongest first 11 in the league. So they don't really need to improve that first 11. I feel like bringing in some young players who will be happy to sit on the bench, come on for half an hour in a game, get chances in the cup, and develop under these big names, under Jurgen Klopp. I feel like that's the best possible move for Liverpool at this point in time. They don't need to be bringing in players like Coutinho, like Thiago. They just need to constantly build on what they have.
I read Naby Keita linked with move away.
Really? I haven't seen this. Who's he been linked with?
Inter Milan, who seemed like they wouldn't spend a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Messi being linked with Inter Milan. I mean, I'd be surprised, to be honest with you. I haven't heard anything about Naby Keita being unsettled at Liverpool. And post lockdown, he was probably their best player, Naby Keita. He really impressed me. I think he will become an established starter next season. I feel like Henderson and Keita midfield would do well.
What? Is Milner out of contract then, did you say?
Milner's gone. Milner's looking like he's probably headed to Leeds.
Wow, I would have snapped at the opportunity to give him a contract.
Yeah, I think most teams would, to be honest with you. I think it'd be a great option for any club. You know, always gives 110%, can play in basically any position on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, because I think he came through the Leeds Academy. So, they've done well at snapping up their Leeds.
Oxlade Chamberlain's also linked with a move away.
He's been unlucky with injuries as Oxlade Chamberlain. I feel like not that he could do with a fresh start, but I feel like there's names that are ahead of him in that Liverpool midfield. So for his own sake, he probably could do with a move away, but obviously, depending on where he'd go, he'd need to be a starter. Where has he been linked with?
I just read players linked away from him for some reasons about his girlfriend a lot.
What's that?
I don't know, like the most recent stuff is about his girlfriend.
I feel like Liverpool, they just need to keep doing what they have been doing. You know, they don't need to go out and spend 50, 60 million pounds on a player. They just need to keep doing what they're doing, basically. Have you got all else that I've missed about Liverpool?
No.
Right, we'll move on to Man City then. Not a bad season for Man City. I mean, 81 points is a respectable tally. That has won the league in the past, 81 points. They've scored 102 goals. They're currently 2-1 ahead against Real Madrid in the Champions League last 16. And they won the League Cup. So it's not been disastrous for Man City. It just feels like it has because they're so far behind Liverpool this season.
I think the unsuccess in the Premier League's down to injuries, but it didn't help that they were short on numbers and positions. That was sort of they shot themselves in the foot by not recruiting correctly.
Yeah, I think the main mistake was they never really replaced Vincent Kompany. They never had that rock solid leader in that back line. I think we were expecting Laporte to be that, but obviously got injured. And they're bringing in, they've already signed Ferran Torres, who's a young Valencia winger. And it looks like within the next 48 hours, they're going to be announcing Nathan Ake for £40 million. What are your thoughts on this, Harry?
Well, Ferran Torres for £24 million is cheap as chips. I mean, he's 20 years old. He's played nearly 100 games for Valencia at first team level in a very respectable league. He seems like it's an investment into him, but he could honestly find himself in that first team pretty quick.
What sort of player is it? Because he could be the potential Leroy Sané replacement. Obviously, he's gone to Bayern Munich.
Yeah, he's fast, but not as fast as him.
Well, not many players are, to be fair.
No. Not much of a goal scorer, though. Hopefully that will improve working with the likes of Aguero every week. Really technical winger. He's got a good cross on him, I know.
Yeah, he could really develop a lot. I mean, look at Sterling when he first came in. He was a very raw talent. He definitely wasn't the finished article, and Pep has definitely moulded him into a top player. So we could see the same with Torres.
Ake is a different story. Why would you sign a centre-back that's just been relegated when you're trying to challenge for, you know, the league? Bit of a bizarre one.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's the fact that they've been relegated. I mean, you know, look at Robertson with Hull. You know, but I just feel like it's the price tag. £40 million, you know. And isn't Ake really going to be the person who comes in and, you know, shakes up, you know, solidifies that Man City defence? Because that's where their main issue, let's be honest with you. Playing Fernandinho and Rodri at centre-back isn't exactly ideal. And is Ake going to change that? You know, for £40 million, you know, you expect a rock-solid centre-back who walks right into that team. But I'm not even sure if Ake does. Is Ake any better than John Stones, really? I'm not so sure about that.
No. Well, the difference between a centre-back and a left-back is, when the goal goes in, you're more inclined to blame the centre-backs than your full-backs.
But I'm sure about relegated players in general, with when I was on about Robertson, that you can find some bargains in relegated clubs. You know, I mean, again, there was John Pickford at Everton. I mean, obviously, this season it hasn't been the best, but...
Really? Wasn't he 30 million?
I don't think he was 30 million. I think he was 20. Which, you know, you don't really want to be paying more than 20 for a relegated player, you know. No matter how good they are, they were still part of a team that got relegated. So
he was 30 million, yeah.
30, yeah.
Who else has moved from like relegated? Who was relegated last season?
Last season, it was Huddersfield, Cardiff and Fulham.
Well, Fulham lost Harvey Elliott. That's about it. That's what I'm thinking of, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are some gems that you can find from relegated clubs and championship clubs. But you don't want to be paying that much for it, you know.
Well, I've seen Callum Wilson and Josh King are linked with moves away.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, the likes of Fraser is out of contract, so he'll be going somewhere. Wilson's gone from Bournemouth. Brooks will most likely be looking for a move away. We've already mentioned Lloyd Kelly as well. Aaron Ramsdale, I'm sure, has a few clubs sniffing around. So, I mean, we'll get to Bournemouth in a bit, but there are.
Todd Cantwell, he's going to be a lot, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, Todd Cantwell, Emi Buendia. I've seen some clubs are linked with Timu Pukki. And Watford, I mean, we've talked about Ismaïla Sarr being linked with Liverpool. Troy Deeney's been linked with a few Premier League clubs. You know, Capoue and what's his name, Doucouré, Firmino, they've all been linked with Premier League clubs. So yeah, there are some quality, but I won't want to pay more than 40 million for it. You know, I won't want to pay more than 20 million, never mind 40.
Yes. Ben Godfrey, to Milan is going to be 40 million apparently.
Yeah, which, you know. That's just ridiculous. I mean, at least with Ake, you know, he still played well this season. You know, he was in a relegated side, but at least he played well. You know, he wasn't brilliant, but he played well. Godfrey's been awful this season. Is it just me who doesn't rate him at all? You know, it's just because he's young. That's why teams are sorting after him. But I just don't rate him.
He's not as young as I thought. He's 22. I thought he was younger.
Yeah. But for a centre-half, he's still got a good 12, 13 years.
Yeah, that's not... he doesn't look that good. I mean, final day of the season, they were on the end of a 5-0 thrashing.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, it was against Man City, you know.
The team they beat, yeah.
Yeah, but we got thrashed 5-0 by City, you know. Liverpool got beat 4-0 by City, you know. You know, and they were without Emi Buendia, their best player. So, you know, I wouldn't look too much into that. I mean, they were by far the worst team. But I'm just saying I wouldn't look too deep into that one individual match.
I don't think they kept many clean sheets last season.
Who's this? Norwich? Yeah, I mean, they weren't the best defensively in the Championship. And I think their issue was, unlike Sheffield United, who we will get on to, they didn't evolve their tactic. They were still playing that Championship style of football, and that just doesn't work.
Had 5 clean sheets.
Yeah, which, you know, you can't afford to do that in the Premier League. Can't afford to play that way. You know, you look at some of the best teams who have been promoted in recent memory, the likes of Wolves, Sheffield United, Burnley. They've all changed their style from when they're in the Championship to when they're in the Premier League. And that's something that the three promoted clubs will have to do.
Well, I've seen Bielsa's linked with the Bournemouth job.
That's rubbish, honestly. Like, it would just be paper talk. Why would he leave Leeds to go to Bournemouth? Like,
according to Leeds fans, it's because he's scared of failure.
I severely doubt that. He's absolutely loved at Leeds, you know. And getting to a Premier League club, you know, why would he do it at this stage, you know?
Maybe he knows his ceiling, I don't know.
I doubt it, to be honest with you. I think Bielsa and Leeds are a good fit, to be honest with you.
Why, because he spies on everyone?
Yeah. What? You're just like Frank Lampard, aren't you, you whiner?
You can't spy on people.
Yeah, no. Yeah. To be fair, it was wrong. I mean...
Didn't he still do it, though?
No.
No?
Because I'm sure someone else would have come out about him spying if he still did it.
Yeah, he puts a drone out.
Yeah, that's it. There's helicopters circling over training ground. have you got all else to say on Man City, or are we going to move on?
Goals good, but numbers bad.
Yeah, I just feel like... I just don't think Ake is the solution.
They need to be spending that 40 million more wisely, getting more players.
Yeah. Or, you know.
Not just splashing out on players that, they might do the job. No.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like if you looked abroad as well, you would have got far better value for that £40 million.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Anyway, let's go to Man United anyway. Man United in third, obviously, still in the Europa League. And I mean, yeah, the goal for this season will have been top four. And that's exactly what Ollie's done. You know, it looked like in January time, just before January, you know, they were looking absolutely dire, you know, which culminated, to be honest with you, with the 2-0 loss at Old Trafford against Burnley, where I don't think Pope had a single save to make. But ever since that game, they've sort of flipped a switch, and I don't think they've lost a game in the league since then. I think the only game that they've lost was against Chelsea in the FA Cup.
Uh, Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a really good second half to the season. Obviously, the signing of Bruno Fernandes has really helped kick on that Man United team. You know, the return of Paul Pogba as well has really helped out. And yeah, they've managed to save their own season after looking very likely not getting top four. And yeah, I just, you know, they've just improved so much in this second half of the season. Do you see them as title challengers for next season?
No. Unless they make a major signing at the back, midfield, and sort out whatever's going on in between the sticks.
Yeah, I mean, Ole has, you know, openly stated that he would like Dean Henderson to come back to Man United, which I think would be the right decision. He has been the better keeper out of him and David De Gea this season. And I feel like that's a no-brainer, you know. And you'd think he'd be on lower wages as well, Dean Henderson. I feel like shifting on David De Gea, because I'm sure plenty of clubs would like him. I feel like shifting him on, because you've got Romero as a number two, who's good enough as a number two. If you shift De Gea on for like 40, 50 million, perhaps, that opens the door to potential big signings. I mean, I know there's heavy, heavy links with Man United and Jadon Sancho, which, you know, obviously would be a great signing for Man United. He's a top, top quality player, Jadon Sancho. And that extra 50 million, not only would it probably be enough to push that deal over the line, it would also probably be enough to buy a new left back or centre half or holding midfielder or, you know, just something that they need to improve.
Well, I don't think they're going to be. I think they might actually make profit this season because they'll be selling Lukaku for a lot, De Gea for a lot, and Sanchez for a lot.
Well, Sanchez is 15 million, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So I'll make that to 145 million.
Yeah.
Then, Jack and Pogba will.
It's a tough one, really. To be honest with you, I don't think he will. Purely for the fact that I don't see any teams that would be a step up for him making a bid for him. You know, your Real Madrid's, your Barcelona's, your PSG's. I can't see them going in for Pogba, really. Purely because, you know, he's had a good 3 or 4 months. I feel like we will see him and Fernandes linking up well next season at Man United. And yet, it's all about, you know, like we were saying with Liverpool, building on what they have. But they probably do need to spend more. Obviously, that front three of Martial, Rashford and Greenwood has been immense this season. The emergence of Greenwood this season has been, you know, phenomenal. He is a future star, is that kid. And if Jadon Sancho came in, I'm not really sure who the front three would miss out. Maybe you'd see Rashford go more central and then Sancho being deployed on the left. I'm not too sure.
Well, and then who's the right man?
Greenwood.
Over Martial?
I'd say so, yeah. I mean, Greenwood's really impressed me this season. I mean, Martial has been good in bursts, but he's not been consistently good, like Greenwood has been since his introduction into the first team.
Okay. And then, have Man United lost any players to the contract expiration?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. The only one I can remember is Angel Gomez, who's
Lille.
Yeah. But besides that, I can't really think of anyone. Yeah, and they've extended the loan of Ojin Igalo as well, which, you know, he'll be a bit part player.
Yeah, well, he's not allowed back in China, I believe.
Yeah.
So that only makes sense. Well, you say about Henderson, but I've seen they're linked with Pope and they're linked with Schmeichel.
Yeah, so, which I don't understand that. I mean,
I'm not
saying that
Leeds.
You what, sir?
I read Romero's linked with Leeds, so I'm assuming they're getting a goalkeeper to start and a goalkeeper on the bench.
Yeah, well, I mean, Leeds have already signed Meslier, so I won't look too into the Romero links.
They've signed who?
Meslier from Lorient, young keeper. I think he's like 22, 23. But yeah, I just don't get that. Not that I'm saying that Henderson is a better goalkeeper than Pope or Schmeichel, but why would you go out and spend, you know, 30, 40, 50 million on those players when you've got Dean Henderson at your club? You know, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, bizarre. Unless they're going to make Henderson stay for him to just sit on the bench all season while they look for a first team keeper, but I don't think you're going to find much better than Henderson.
Well, especially considering he's already on your books, you know. And he'll want first team football. If he's not going to get first team football at Manchester United, he's just going to go back to Sheffield United, you know. So I just think it's a no-brainer to make him number one, personally, rather than spending money that could be invested in other areas of the squad.
I'm looking at Leeds' squad. It's very light.
Yeah. I mean, they have been linked with quite a few players who are out of contract. I mean, obviously, we've been talking about James Milner. Aaron Lennon's another one who they've been linked with. And they have been linked with a few actual signings as well. I mean, Emmanuel Dennis from Club Bruges has been linked with the club quite heavily. But yeah, I do think they need to make quite a few signings. But I mean, we'll get into Leeds in a bit. What else to say on Man United, or have we got to move on to your club?
Yeah, let's move on to...
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll let you take the reins here. What did you make of Chelsea's season?
Well, can we talk about the more recent game?
Yeah, feel free.
I thought we were exceptionally poor in that game. I think we were very lucky that we didn't come up against City, because I think we would have been on the end of a rout. Just so poor defensively. We looked lost going forward. I know we scored 5 minutes in, but once we gave away that penalty, it all went to shit. Yeah, just, I guess the better team won, but the fact that we didn't show any heart or desire is what pains the most.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I do feel like there were quite a few dodgy decisions against you, but overall, you know, the fact that you went 1-0 up and, you know, you couldn't hold on to that. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, the second goal was, you know, it was a brilliant goal from one of the top strikers in Europe. But yeah, you know, it is the sort of game that you should be winning. You know, a cup final, you should be able to motivate your players to be able to win those. You know, and I feel like you could do with a couple more experienced heads in that dressing room. You know, obviously, got the young kids, you know, your Mounts, your Abrahams, your Tomori, Zoomers, etc., James. But I feel like a couple more experienced heads to help you in situations like that could really help out. Obviously, you know, giving the youngsters the main chances, but just for the mentality, they'll do well to learn off of some older names.
Yeah, it was weird because we were playing Pedro and Willian, and their sights are elsewhere, it seems. I mean, Pedro was already a Roma player at that point, and Willian's looking elsewhere, like Arsenal, I guess. So we had two attackers in that game who weren't focused, focused on the task at hand, and that cost us. And our defence is just another issue in itself. It's just one that we needed to rectify from the start of the season, and we didn't.
Yeah, I feel like with, you know, the incomings of Werner, Ziyech, and also you've got players like, you know, Hudson-Odoi, Mounts, even Loftus-Cheek can play there, you know, Pulisic. You've got a good enough attack. And, you know, depending on who leaves, you've still got a good enough midfield. It's just that defence I need sorting out. I mean, you know, I don't want to keep banging on the same drum as everyone else, but Kepa is not a good enough number one. But even without Kepa, you definitely need at least another centre half. I know Lampard is looking to offload. He's willing to offload. Sorry, Zouma, Christensen, and Rudiger. So yeah, looks like you're definitely going to be bringing in a potential centre half, as well as a left back as well. You know, been linked with the likes of Chilwell, who probably won't leave, considering Leicester are wanting over 80 million for him, and Alex Telles as well. So yeah.
Reguilón from Real Madrid for 18.
Yeah, that was the other name I was thinking of. On loan at Sevilla this season and done really well.
He was best left back in La Liga last season.
Mm. Yeah, he's done really well. And, you know, yeah, I just feel like, you know, as much as, you know, bringing in Werner, bringing in Ziyech will help, I don't feel like they should have been the focuses. I feel like the focuses should have been bringing in a centre-half and a goalkeeper before the best ones are all tied down.
Mm. Well, I've seen Koulibaly is also linked, but that's a name that's been linked for, seems forever, and yeah. Nothing's ever been made of it.
Mm, yeah, I feel like a Koulibaly really could help out that Chelsea defence, or someone of that ilk. You know, someone who is a leader who will, you know, general that back four / back three.
Yeah. Well, when we played five at the back against Wolves, we looked really good.
Mm. Maybe yeah, I feel like you've probably looked your best whilst playing three at the back, because it allows Alonso and James more freedom to do, you know, what they do best, which is attacking. You know, they're both attacking fullbacks.
Hmm. Well, Reece James looks good. He's got a lot of stamina, so he'd fit that. He should be a starting right back. And then hopefully whoever's Alonso's replacement. Mm. But if we're going to offload the three centre-backs, like you said, then we're going to have to sign five defence centre-backs.
You're going to have to sign five centre-backs?
Yeah, three to start, well, and then yeah. Two on the bench.
Well, no, when I said that, when it's been said that he's willing to offload those three, I don't think he means he's going to offload all of those, just that they're names that he's willing to let go.
All right. Well, I'd keep Rudiger, personally, and let the other two go.
Mm.
But make sure that whoever you're going to sign are capable replacements and not young players who, you know, you don't really know what they're going to be like and they're not ready for the first team.
Mm. Yeah, and I feel like that was sort of the mistake that they made with Kepa as well with Chelsea. I mean, he was only like 22 when he signed, and he was immediately the most expensive goalkeeper in the world. So I feel like that pressure probably got to him. And yeah, I just feel like you need a couple of established names.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully, after we get Havertz, we've gone from strikers to midfield and then defenders and goalkeeper, hopefully.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, for all she wants there. Oh, covered basically everything.
I'm excited for next season.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
didn't say that last season.
Yeah, I remember you saying you weren't even going to qualify for Europe. And yet, you know, with the likes of Man United, Chelsea, or even Arsenal potentially, all could push on to challenge Liverpool. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Right, we'll move on to Leicester then, because we are we're 3/4 of an hour in and we've done 4th clubs, so we'll move on to Leicester. A really good season for Leicester, but could have been a lot better.
Yeah, they just stumbled at a final hurdle. I think that was it, really.
Mm.
I think as long as they recruit well, they'll be challenging for the top 4 again. They've put ridiculous price tags on their players, so they put buyers off, so it seems there's not going to be many, if any, departures. And hopefully they can... It's hard to say where they should buy, really.
Mm. I think they just need more names. You know, because, I mean, you look at last game of the season, you know, and you look at some of the names that they're playing, you know, they're playing Mark Albright and Wes Morgan, you know, and on the bench they've got people like Ryan Bennett, Matty James, Nampalis Mendy, you know.
They played George Thomas, who was out of a contract and now he's on a QPR, I believe.
Yeah, so, you know, they just need more names, to be honest with you. You know, that first team is class, you know, obviously. They've got the top scorer in the league. But they just need more names, especially if they've got the Europa League next season. Europa League is a killer. And especially when you've got teams like Wolves and Sheffield United who have missed out on Europe, then, yeah, they're going to have a big squad to be able to compete with those kind of clubs.
They didn't have a particularly big squad when they won the league. I mean, they were very lucky that everyone else was off and all their players had hit their prime.
Yeah, I mean, that was a miracle. You know, like, you can't expect that to happen more than once in a generation. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think they just needed to offload all the deadwood, all the older guys, get some young, fresh faces in. But more importantly, if the younger guys are going to cost a pretty penny, then look towards more experienced guys that are cheaper, but you know they're going to fill the void.
Yeah. Because I mean, I know they've been looking at players like Francesco Trincão. Is the big name that's been linked with them, a £50 million move. The Barcelona winger.
Yeah, but his buyout clause is £500 million.
Yeah, but...
I wish I was joking.
Yeah, I know, it's mental, isn't it? But, you know... They're the rumours, what I've heard, a £50 million bid for Trincão. That's just what I've heard.
What?
Yeah.
He only just moved this summer.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, he moved last season.
Yeah, but the deal wasn't made official till now. They, like, signed him.
Oh, I thought they signed him and then loaned him back.
No, I think the deal was just done in principle.
Oh, right.
I think it was a handshake deal at that point. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean...
If they're desperate to raise funds, and if players do want to move it on... They will not consider a deal for Trincão. They want to sell Coutinho and Dembele.
Hmm.
How the hell were they broke?
I don't know. I mean, they're one of the biggest clubs in the world. I don't know how. Yeah.
Even if it was self-funded, like, how?
Yeah, I know. I mean, consider the income that they get off Messi shirt sales alone. Do you know what I mean? Like, but anyway, yeah. I feel like Leicester. I feel like they're going to struggle next season, personally. I don't think they're going to get as close to the top four as they have done this season, purely because of the Europa League. I feel like fighting on two fronts when teams like Wolves and Sheffield United aren't, I feel like that's really going to hinder them.
I don't see how that's any different from the season when they had the Champions League, which is a more rigorous competition.
Leicester didn't.
Did they not?
No, that was, like... 3 seasons ago.
Did they not have Europe then?
No.
They didn't have Europe?
No, they finished like 9th last season.
Oh, Christ. Oh, okay.
Wolves did.
Yeah. Leicester, weren't it? Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Sorry. Well, that just means there's more demand to get those players in, whoever they may be.
Yeah.
They don't need to go and splash out at, like, big amounts on the one player. They need to splash big amounts on like 5 to 6 players.
Yeah.
And off, maybe not offload the deadwood, but keep it around just in case, you know, things do turn out bad. Where's more capable?
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they did end up selling one of the big names for big money. As long as that would be reinvested into the squad, and I'm sure it would for Leicester. You know, I mean, yeah, it could go one of two ways, Leicester's season next season, so it'd be interesting to see.
Names are sort of likely to leave? Because at 80 million price tag, I don't see anyone buying for Chilwell.
No. I think the main man who's been linked with a move away, along with Chilwell, is Ndidi. He's been linked with... he was linked with PSG, wasn't he, Ndidi? If I remember rightly.
What did they do then? They got bloody... Idrissa Gueye, Draxler, Herrera, Verratti, and they want Ndidi.
Well, they are having to play their best defender as a holding midfielder most of the time, so...
What, Marquinhos?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably been one of their better players. He's really good there.
Yeah, but he's a centre half, you know.
Yeah, but he's happy to play centre back. It doesn't matter. I think it's because they've got too many defenders, centre backs rather, and not too many centre midfielders. But I don't see the problem with Marquinhos playing in midfield because he's been brilliant there. It's not like sticking the midfielder at the back and he's looking out of shape.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of hard to fit a team with Kimpembe, Thiago Silva and Marquinhos. You got to keep all three of those guys happy.
Mm.
But us, with Thiago Silva now not retired, out of contracts, we'll see him slot back into centre-back.
Yeah.
And where do you think Thiago Silva will go? There's rumours of him going to Leeds.
Oh, that's bollocks, definitely. I mean, every player under the sun's been linked with Leeds.
I know.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic has been linked with Leeds.
Yeah, I read he's going to Sweden.
Yeah, I won't be surprised. I mean, you know.
Not someone like Malmo. I think it's like Helsingborg.
Yeah. I mean, I won't be surprised to see him go back. I mean, you know, he's already done the MLS, so... It's literally just China, what he hasn't done.
Middle East.
He can't go to China, so...
Middle East, where Santi Cazorla's from.
Yeah.
Imagine a midfield of Santi Cazorla and assisting Ibrahimovic. That'd be insane.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll see some moves from China over here for the foreign players, like Paulinho?
Well, I don't think they can they?
Well, a lot of them, they've got, like, temporary homes in China... And then they might be staying in their home country.
Yeah.
They're kind of locked out.
Well, I think it all depends on, like, living situations and stuff like that, whether they will, you know. I don't know too much about it, though, so I'd have to look into it.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll move on to Spurs. Yeah, I mean, it has been a poor season. But I feel like people are being a bit harsh on Jose. I mean, he took the team from... bottom half up to, you know, top six, which, you know, it's, you know, he's done well as Mourinho. Yeah, he's not been poch, but he's not done an awful job, I wouldn't say, like some people are claiming.
They've underachieved. That's pretty simple.
But that was more down to what happened before Mourinho came in.
I think it was still a ship that could have been steered into a better direction. I don't think his tenure at Spurs is to be looked back upon, you know, in high regard, because there were games where Spurs looked absolutely crap, and it wasn't any different to being under the Poch regime.
I mean, no one's saying it's like his first season at Chelsea or when he won the treble with Inter. But I just feel like he's done a good enough job to steady that ship for the first season. It's all about building. I mean, you know, and you've got to bear in mind as well that the star striker, Harry Kane, has been out for quite a bit of this season.
Look at their team. They keep relying on Harry Kane. And to be frank, the players they've got are good enough without him.
No, well...
11 losses.
You say that, but I think Harry Kane basically walks into any team in Europe besides Bayern Munich. So
they've got players like Lucas and Ndombele, Heung-Min Son.
No, of course, if you take Kane out of that side, they're going to be weaker. It's like taking Lewandowski out of Bayern. They're going to be weaker.
Yeah, I'm not denying that. I'm saying... Even if you took them out, you'd expect them to win the games that they have. But they had 11 losses this season.
Hmm.
They lost more than Arsenal, who weren't as good either.
How many of those losses were under Jose?
I can have a look. When did Jose take over?
I cannot remember. I'll just check. On 20th of November 2019, that was when he took over.
20th of November. So, Spurs results. Okay, so Jesus Christ, why is this not coming? So they lost to Sheffield United 3-1. Bit of a shock. They lost to Leipzig in the Champions League 3-0. They lost to Norwich on penalties in the FA Cup. Lost to Wolves 3-2. Lost to Chelsea 2-1. Lost to Leipzig 1-0. Lost to Liverpool 1-0. Lost to Chelsea 2-0. Lost to Bayern 3-1. Lost to United 2-1. Oh, yeah, and that West Ham game was his first game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So how many losses is that?
So, I mean, you know, they're all against decent opposition, the games that he's lost, you know. He's beaten the teams that he really should be beating, you know. All I'm saying is I don't think it's been as bad as some people make out under Jose. You know, I've seen fans saying, you know, that Jose needs to leave now. Which, you know, I don't think is fair when he hasn't had a chance to build a team around himself yet.
Well, he's had 11 losses in all competitions.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, you've got to think about the quality of those oppositions. I mean, you know, like the likes of Leipzig, the likes of, you know, Wolves, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea, you know. It's not like he's, with the exception of the Norwich game, it's not like he's losing against teams that he should be spanking. Do you know what I mean? All I'm saying is it's not been disaster. That's all I'm saying. I feel like if you give him a transfer window to let him implement what he wants, then it'll be fair to judge him.
He has a loss rate of 31.4%. Now, games that he didn't win, 68.5%.
All right, so, okay, who would you have brought in instead of Jose then?
Yeah, but that's not the point we're making. I'm talking about...
You were saying that the ship could have been steadied a lot better. Yep. So who would have done a better job than Jose then?
Enrique.
Well, really? I mean, shit at Barca, wasn't it?
Laurent Blanc. Arsene.
Yeah, I doubt Blanc would have got the Spurs.
No, that's true. Arsene Wenger, even though that would have been a massive, massive shock.
Yes, Wenger was never going to go to Spurs.
Yeah, I know, but you're just asking me managers that wasn't Ancelotti out of a job at that time? So him, trying to think of who else. I was gonna say Roberto Di Matteo just for a laugh. Can you imagine that?
Bring back Vias Bolas.
He's doing okay at Zenit, I guess.
Yeah. Still Harry Redknapp's out of a job. Give it back to him.
Peter Crouch. That's it.
Oh yeah, get Peter Crouch. Give him his coaching budget.
Do you think Jose will stay around?
I don't think he'll be there at the start of the 2021-22 season, no.
So who would you bring in?
Not too sure, to be honest with you. It all depends who leaves jobs, you know, because all could happen between now and then. To be honest with you, if I'm Spurs, I'm looking at doing somewhat similar to what Arsenal have done, is bringing in, you know, a young coach, like someone who will be there for a while, someone who you can build a team around for the next few years, like what they did under Poch. Because Jose was never going to be a long term.
Well, what about the Benfica manager that's just lost his job? Bruno Lage.
Yeah, I mean,
44.
Yeah, I mean, that could be an option.
Eddie Howe.
No, he's a glorified PE teacher, is Eddie Howe.
Taking a club from League Two to Premier League, yeah. That's a glorified PE teacher.
Yeah, with millions and millions and millions.
Didn't have that in League Two. They were bottom of the league when he took over.
And they spent loads.
Yeah, but that doesn't change the fact that when he took over, they were bottom of the league, favourites to go down. And then the very next season, they finished top. Well, second, rather.
Yeah, but if you spend loads, that can easily happen.
What, in League Two?
The lower leagues are so close.
What, in League Two?
Yeah, the lower leagues are so close in quality.
Right, okay.
You know, you lose three games on the bounce and you're fighting against relegation. You win three games on the bounce and you're fighting for automatics. Yeah.
What's the disparity between first and second in League Two? Then?
And again, the only time that Howe has had a job outside of Bournemouth, he was absolutely god awful.
Clarence Seedorf is out of a...
Yeah, that could be an option.
Yeah, he was at Cameroon, he was shit. Chris Hughton?
No, not Hughton.
Yeah, you just bring it, it's them. It's Spurs. Oh, Marco van Bommel. He was at PSV previously, 43 years old. Do you want them to bring in like a former player? Sort of like someone who knows the club?
Well, not necessarily a former player, but I feel like it'd be best for him just to have a long-term solution, someone who's going to be there for a while, because that's what guided him to a Champions League final.
Alex McLeish. Wasn't he good in, like, the 80s? Well, not the 80s. Like, he actually had anything. No, he didn't. Wasn't he the guy who helped Birmingham beat Arsenal?
I can't remember. Could have been.
Yes, he was. See, he knows how to beat Arsenal.
Yeah.
No, but when you look back, he won Scottish Premier League with Rangers. Shit now, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't really know who Spurs should be looking for.
No,
because they're not attempting side because they haven't won anything.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But besides that, anyway, we've got Vertonghen is out of contract. He's leaving. So it's likely that Spurs will be wanting to bring in a centre half. What do you think about that? Do you think it was the right decision to let him go?
Yeah, didn't they let Alderweireld out as well?
I don't think he's out of contract, but I think they've said that they'll be willing to sell him.
All right, because I've seen him rumoured to see. Yes. For a club that doesn't want to spend a lot, why would you let players like that go on a free? I can understand Michel Vorm, but not Vertonghen. I reckon it. Tongan will go to Ajax.
Yeah, I mean, because they just sold Veltman, didn't they?
Yeah, for like 900,000 to Brighton.
Yeah.
Despite being one of the better defenders in the entire league. I suppose his age.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll stay on Spurs or we'll move on to Wolves.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a good. I think they will be unlucky if they do miss out on European football. They can't get the Europa League now. The only chance of European football they have is they have to win the Europa League, which, is a possibility. They are 1-1 currently going up against Olympiacos in the second leg with the away goal. So, yeah, it is a possibility for us that they could get Champions League football, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they didn't, because it really could allow them to sort of push on and, build on the success of the past two seasons. It's been a good season, but it could have been a lot better, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think they was just so close to the Champions League, and just like Leicester, they kind of stumbled at the final hurdle. I don't think there's anything to look back upon to be bitter about it because there wasn't much they could do. It came down to the final day and the better team won. And it was just... Post-lockdown, they just didn't look as fresh as they did before. Well, not fresh, but as good.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. I feel like... I don't know, they didn't have the same spark as they did earlier on in the season, obviously, the likes of Adam Traore, the likes of Raul Jimenez, they were still integral players. But, I don't know, they just didn't seem to have the same energy that they did at the start of the season. Sort of trailed off towards the end, which, probably has something to do with the Europa League, the fact that they had to go through all the qualifiers and they're still in it. Which is why, you know, I say that missing out wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for them.
Agreed. I think if they don't get Champions League, they might be kissing a lot of their best players goodbye, particularly Jimenez.
Mm.
And it looks like they're going to sign Paulinho from Braga.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not so sure. I mean, you know, it feels like Wolves have a really good thing going. You know, obviously, especially the Portuguese players, you know, like Jimenez, Moutinho, Patricio. I feel like they particularly want to stay. Yeah, like you said, Jimenez and possibly Traore are the only two I could see potentially moving on if they don't get Champions League. But I still feel like it's more likely that they'll stay than they won't. And yet, it's just, you know, that's the main thing, though. You know, because they've got a good squad of Wolves, but it's just about keeping hold of what they have.
Mm. They've got a good foundation to build on, and I reckon it's gonna be a big summer for them. They're gonna be signing players from the Portuguese league, probably. Paulinho, I read he's got 17 goals in Liga NOS, but he's only worth 4 million, and he's rumored to be going there to Wolves for 30, which is weird.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that is weird. How old is he?
27.
Yeah, that is odd. I mean, I couldn't understand playing that for like a 20 or a 21-year-old. Yeah, that's weird. Huh?
Yeah, but why is he only worth 4 million?
Well, what who's valued him at 4 million? You're looking at Transfermarkt.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I find
pretty reliable.
I don't trust Transfermarkt's values, to be honest with you. I mean, the value Nick Pope at like 10 million, so.
Oh, right.
I think the value Aguero at like 25 million.
What? It must be like an algorithm that they use.
Yeah, I think it's somewhat to do with stats. My general rule of thumb is you've got to at least double the value to get the actual value, at least.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, there's not much to say on Wolves, really. Just that they need to build on what they currently have. Let's move on to Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to say it's been a bad season for Arsenal, because at the end of the day, they've won a trophy, you know, and at the most, four clubs in the whole of England can say that they've won a trophy. Like, that is just, it's just mad. Like, yeah, it's in terms of the league, of course, it's not been a good season, but they have qualified for Europe and they've won a trophy, and success is measured on trophy. So, you know, yes, it's been a poor season in terms of the league, and yes, it's been a poor season in terms of the Europa League, but overall, it's not been that bad of a season. And I think under Arteta, they're only going to get better if they can keep hold of Aubameyang.
That's a big if.
Mm.
I don't know, just when you're Aubameyang and you're having to essentially carry a team like Arsenal to victory every week, I'd be thinking I'm better off elsewhere, bigger wage and all that.
Mm, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not been great. I mean, how many goals did Arsenal get this season? 54 won it in the league?
Yep.
Oh, 56, sorry. So Aubameyang has scored like about 40% of their goals this season.
That's insane.
Yeah, like they need to keep hold of him desperately. And there are definitely positions where they need to improve. I feel like the defence is not good enough for where they want him to be, which is, you know, pushing top four. And the midfield as well. I mean, what's happening with Ceballos? Is Ceballos staying around?
I believe he's gone back to Real Madrid. I don't know whether Arsenal can afford to bring him in.
Hmm. What about the possibility of another loan move for him, though? Because he is probably their best midfielder at the moment, especially with Guendouzi looking like he's going to be on his way out and Ozil being frozen out of the squad, essentially.
Yeah, I think Real Madrid want money.
Hmm. Yeah, So centre mid is definitely a position where they need to improve as well.
Loan him out with an obligation to buy.
Which, you know, I'm not sure if Arsenal would be willing to do that. I know there's been a couple of midfielders linked with Arsenal, namely Coutinho and Partey. And they definitely do need a centre mid if they're not going to manage to regain Ceballos. I think Granit Xhaka, despite having a shaky season, particularly, you know, when he threw down the captain's band and the shirt and swore at the fans. But he is probably their best midfielder at the moment. Post-lockdown especially, he has played really well. But he needs someone creative alongside him. So that's something definitely that Arsenal will need to improve in the window. Along with, of course, at least one centre-half. Probably two.
Well, if whatever his face is gone.
Saliba.
Aubameyang. Sorry, if Aubameyang leaves.
All right.
Yeah. If Aubameyang leaves, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that they could sign that can sort of fill that.
No. Well, Aubameyang is an elite level forward. He's one of the top strikers in the world at the moment, you know. He walks into, you know, the majority of teams. He is genuine world class. And could Arsenal afford someone, even if they got rid of Aubameyang, could they afford someone, or would they have the pulling power to be able to get someone who is world class when they're playing Europa League football? I don't think they would.
It's a very weird run club. You have Stan Kroenke, who's splashing out all kinds of money in the NFL and NBA, but Arsenal, which are probably the least expensive club, they give them pennies and they're expected to fund themselves.
Yeah.
But he's fine spending the hundreds of millions in the USA.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't care. It's a business for him, you know. He's more invested in his NBA teams, his NFL teams, his hockey teams and stuff. Because at the end of the day, he's an American businessman. He don't care about football.
I know, but surely Arsenal's is the most profitable, like, asset, I guess.
Well, I'm not sure. I have to look into, you know, his other teams, see how profitable they are. They have the potential to be, definitely. But he'd have to invest. And I'm not sure whether he would be investing, you know, when he's already invested in other clubs or teams or whatever.
Is there a way that you can look at, like, NBA wages?
Well, I know the top NBA wages are mental. Like, you've got players on 800 grand a week or
something. Fuck me.
I think Steph Curry's on $1 million a week, but I could be mistaken.
What the fuck? So, one of his assets is called the Denver Nuggets, and their contract, downside guarantees, altogether, equates to $450 million.
Yeah. So that's what? About like nearly 10 million a week on wages.
That is. Yeah, but I'm not going to spend that much on Arsenal, who probably make me the most money for the least amount of expenditure.
Yeah, exactly.
Why is it that normal people can run a business better than these people?
Well, just don't care. He's not bothered.
Yeah, I guess.
But the future does look bright for Arsenal. Ever since Arteta's come in, they feel like they've gotten 10 times better than they ever looked under Emery. Under Emery, they looked, you know, compressed. They didn't look dangerous going forward at all. I mean, even Aubameyang has looked miles better under Arteta because of the free-flowing football that they're starting to regain, what they had under Wenger. Because, I mean, you know,
he owns an Overwatch and Call of Duty team.
Fuck me. I bet he invests more in that than he does in Arsenal, to be honest with
you. Yeah. What? Okay.
But the future does look bright for Arsenal. It looks like they are progressing as a club. And they will be challenging for that top four next. They will definitely be knocking on the door. And it all depends on what signings they make. Because Arteta does need to be backed. He's proven what he can do with the players under his current disposal, but if he had better players, you know, who knows what he could.
Mm. Yeah, well, like you said, they have got a bright future in Saka, Martinelli, Willock, probably a few other lads that I'm forgetting.
Nketiah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saliba as well could be a potential breakout star. And who knows about Maitland-Niles as well? I mean, he's been linked with moves away.
I don't rate him personally.
Well, I mean, he's sort of like a Milner where he can play in lots of different positions. And so he's a useful squad player to have.
Yeah, but he's shitting all of them.
He's not
I think he's got more own goals than goals, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but he's been playing right back for most of the season.
Yeah, but still, that's pretty bad. Even Zappa Costa probably has more goals than him. And he scored from a cross one. No, just Arsenal, a very weird team. You can't make a comment on their transfers because it's such a weird transfer structure in where they're still paying off Pepe and Tierney. So who knows even if they're going to be looking towards even signing anyone and perhaps offloading players to fund the Pepe move still.
Yeah, it is an interesting one. It can go one or two ways this next window for Arsenal. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Is there anything else you want to add on Arsenal?
No.
No? Well, I mean, we'll move on to the surprises of the season then. We've got Chris Wilder, Sheffield United. The majority of people predicted them to be relegated. Quite a few people predicted them to finish bottom of the league as well. But Wilder has...
Was one of them you?
I predicted him to go down. I didn't predict him to finish bottom.
Alright.
But Wilder's proven all of those, you know, people wrong. You know, he's had a magnificent season, you know. Because the goal was to survive relegation. And they've done that and then some. You know, I mean, they've shown that they've been willing to change the style from the Championship to the Premiership, moving from 3-4-1-2 into that 3-5-2 with the three flat midfield rather than one number 10. And that's really worked out for them. You know, they've just had a brilliant season. Because, you know, you look at those players, you know, and that team, it's definitely greater than the sum of its parts. Obviously, you've got individual quality like Dean Henderson in between the sticks, Jack O'Connell at the back, Sander Berge in midfield. But there's not too many standout players, which, you know, is only a good thing for Sheffield United. They're not having to deal with too many egos in that dressing room. And yeah, it's just been a fantastic season for them.
Yeah. Overexceeded all expectations of them. Huge credit to Chris Wilder and what he's turned that team to be. Wasn't naive in moving out. Oh, I'm not going to, you know, change my star or anything. I'm going to keep pushing my centre backs forward and all that. He changed and it worked brilliantly.
Yeah, and I mean, that's been a difference between Sheffield United and Norwich. You know, in the Championship, they were probably a similar level of quality, but in the Premier League, Wilder's adapted those tactics to suit the different style in the league, and Norwich haven't. And yeah, it's just been a brilliant... It's just been brilliant season for him. You know, I feel like, you know, and like we said, you know, there's not been too many standout players. I mean, up front, you know, the top scorer is Lee Smith-Save with 6 goals, you know. Like, it's definitely a team better than the sum of its parts. You know, I don't want to keep banging on about that. But genuinely, it's been, you know, there's not really bad you can say about it, to be honest with you. They've been brilliant.
No. You can't really poke holes in any of that team. Everyone's worked tremendously well. Real shame that after lockdown, they kind of lost a bit of form. And obviously, the Euros had to be postponed. Because I think a few of those lads would have been in line for a call-up. A really deserved call-up.
Yeah, they definitely would have been in with a shout. I feel like the likes of, you know, Jack O'Connell and George Baldock, people like that, they would have been in with a shout, but I feel like because of the system that they play in, it would definitely be a lot harder for them to break into that England team purely because the style of play is so different. Well, I'm not saying that they couldn't. Not saying that they couldn't. And if England played in the same, you know, formation and style that they did in the World Cup, you know, then they could easily slot into there. But what I'm saying is, in terms of a back four, it'll be a lot harder for them to convince Southgate that they should go into there ahead of some of the more established names, or even some of the better defenders that have played well this season who play in a back four.
Well, the only sort of shoe-in into that England side, I would say, would be Henderson. I'd say he'd be my number one person.
Well, I mean,
that's why he's going to be probably, hopefully, he'll be United's number one in his case. I'd rather he stayed at Sheffield United.
Yeah, I mean, well, wherever he goes, next season he will be a number one. It's just whether Manchester United can convince him that he will start over David De Gea next season. Because if not, I'm sure he'll be happy enough to go back to Sheffield United. I mean, he's been there for two seasons. So, I'm sure he's more than happy to be their number. And I think that's the most important thing for Sheffield United this season. I mean, they've been linked with players like Swift, like Eze, like Rian Brewster as well. But I think the most important thing that they have to do this transfer window is keep hold of Dean Henderson.
Yeah. I think they're going to have to command kind of some kind of fee to bring him in on a permanent basis. Or United are going to have to do some sweet talking in convincing Henderson to either stay on the bench or be part of a first team, which I doubt will happen.
He's not going to stay on the bench. No chance.
No, yeah, but that's what I mean. But are they going to either... They're going to either stick him on the bench, or they're just going to keep rotating with whichever other keeper they're going to bring in, which will probably be Schmeichel. And I doubt Schmeichel will be happy to sit on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see Henderson, you know, being satisfied with anything other than undisputed number one, because that's what he already is at Sheffield United. You know, why would he go to Man United and not be their undisputed number one? You know, that harms his England at the end of the
day. Yeah. But do you think players nowadays are excited about a call-up as they were maybe a decade or so ago?
I'm sure they are, yeah. I mean, you know, it's any, you know, kid's dream to play for the... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure they're more than excited, you know. Especially under Southgate as well. I'm sure more younger players will be more excited about the thought of playing for the country because they've actually been given a chance and not have to sit behind the likes of 56-year-old Steven Gerrard and 49-year-old Frank Lampard.
Yeah. Where would you recruit for Sheffield United? I think the easy answer is probably up front.
Mm.
But do you think they need more numbers? Do you think they need a better defence? Well, I wouldn't say they need a better defence. I think that's 100% their strong point.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I only think they need, you know, two or three more names. I feel like we said up front, they could do with a more defined goal scorer. I mean, Ollie McBurney, Moussa, even at times McGoldrick have all played well. But, you know, they could do with a striker who's going to get double figures. But in terms of more numbers, I don't think they desperately need that. I mean, at the end of the day, they didn't qualify for Europe. So and next season, they will again just be focused on the Premier League. So I don't think they need too many new numbers. I just feel like, you know, freshen up the squad a little bit, but they don't really need to change anything all that much. So it's just all about keeping hold of what they have and just adding a couple of fresh faces.
Jack Rodwell's left them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Henderson's now left them. Ricciero Zivkovic has left them. I think there'll be a few... Is Lundstrom out of contract?
No, he had a 12-month extension clause that's been activated. Yep. So he's out of contract next season.
Right. Well, I'd offer him 3 years at least.
Mm.
Just based on that last season. They signed Wes Fodderingham, who couldn't even get into the Rangers team. Bit of a bizarre one. He won't be number one, but at least I hope he isn't. They've got Callum Robinson back from his loan from West Brom. They've lost Kieran Freeman, Phil Jagielka, Leon Clark, Mark Duffy. Do you think, this is what I mean, I think they need numbers.
Well, realistically, you know, how many of those players made a significant amount of appearances for Jagielka did.
Jagielka, Freeman and Henderson did.
Yeah. I think, you know, another centre-half.
Oh, and Leon Clark, sorry.
Bring back Henderson. I don't think they need too many names because, you know, most of the players you named, I mean, you know, Zivkovic, I don't think he made an appearance for him. Rodwell, I don't think made an appearance for him. You know.
Duffy was out on loan.
Yeah.
But Phil Jagielka, he was right at the heart of the defence. And
he was good when he was called upon, yeah.
Yeah. Leon Clark and Freeman were they came off the bench every now and then. So it seems they need a centre-back. They definitely need a striker because that was the weak point. It took a while for McBurney to sort of find the net. Mm. Same with McGough. Do you see a pair like Ollie Watkins going there?
I feel like that would be a great signing for Sheffield United. I mean, he's got an £18 million release clause in his contract, Ollie Watkins. So I imagine, you know, quite a few at least Premier League clubs will be looking at him. I mean, he walks into basically every single bottom half Premier League club except for maybe Everton.
Really?
I'd say so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, DCM is good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I think Everton would profit off of a two-striker system, but we'll get into that later.
Well, they do play with a two-striker system, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah, they play 4-4-2.
Well,
at least they have done under Ancelotti.
Who's the other one? Richarlison?
Yeah, they usually play Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin with Walcott and Bernard on the wings, Gomez and Davies in midfield.
Richarlison's more of a winger to me.
I don't know. I mean, he's got, 13 goals up front, right?
Yeah, I know. But if you had two strikers and him out wide, I think you'd have more goals.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then when does Bernard fit?
Kind of like an Adama Traore, where his pace and his technicality will be much better used later in the game as a fresh substitute.
Yeah.
Really cause issues for sort of a tired defence. So I think it's better used that way. Walcott's fucking shit, so maybe, I don't know, have Bernard on the right side.
But anyway, just going back to Sheffield United a bit, I feel like Ollie Watkins would definitely be a great signing for them. I feel like he would definitely be someone who, you know, and obviously Championship, you know, there's a lot of talent, but there's also a lot of players who aren't going to make it. But I feel like Ollie Watkins would definitely be someone who would fit into that Sheffield United side. You know, he works hard, you know, he commits defensively even, and he's a natural goal scorer. So I feel like he would definitely fit into that side. And yeah, I mean, I just think they need to keep the core of the team, keep Henderson, and just keep doing what they're doing, basically. Because they don't have Europe, so it's not like they need 6 or 7 new squad players.
No, it's the old adage of don't fix what isn't broken.
Exactly, yeah.
Who's next?
Yeah, I mean, we're almost at 2 hours, so I think we'll probably break this up into two parts.
Yeah.
I mean, we might as well do the top half of the table, and then second half we'll do the bottom half. But yeah, last thing we've got is Mighty Clarets. Yeah, it's been a brilliant season for us. I don't feel like we've had the plaudits as much as, you know, like so Sheffield United, Wolves, etc., which is understandable. But yeah, it's been a brilliant season for us. We've matched our points record in the Premier League. Nick Pope was this close to getting the Golden Glove. He was.
No one can see you, mate.
You what?
You said this close, but no one can see you.
I said what?
You said this close, but no one can see you.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was very close. I was doing a pinching. I was doing a pinching signal with my fingers there.
Yeah, because I couldn't see you.
Yeah, for the visually impaired, that's what I was doing. But yeah, like. It's been a great season. you know, for us. The key players have performed really well. You know, the new signings that we've brought in, you know, Jay Rodriguez has been class. Josh Brownhill has come in and done an excellent job. And even Eric Peters, you know, for a £1 million backup signing, when he has been called upon, he's been all right.
he's been all right.
He's been all right.
What, as a backup, him.
Well, I mean, as a left back, he's not been great. But when he's been played on the wing, he's been all right, you know, as a backup.
You said our signings have been great. So you proceed to list our Rodriguez, Brownhill. Yeah, Peters, he's been all right.
Yeah. Well,
so that's two signings then.
Yeah, two of our signings have been great then.
Who else did you sign?
Yeah. And Nick Pope has come in as well. This is his second sort of full Premier League season, and he's been great.
McNeil.
Yeah, McNeil's been
first full season. Is this McNeil's first full season? Full season.
Yeah, it's been his first full season. He's one of only, I think he's the sixth player in Premier League history under the age of 21 to play every single game.
Wow, okay.
Joining Robbie Fowler, Frank Lampard, Wayne Bridge, Wayne Routledge, and I can't remember the fifth one.
The way you were going off, like, I thought it was going to be like a bunch of stellar names. You went Wayne Bridge and Wayne Routledge, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it could go one of two ways. I mean, you could end up like Robbie Fowler or Frank Lampard. I think it's more likely that it does that than ends up like Wayne Bridge.
Getting cut.
No, but it's definitely been a brilliant season for us. And now it's all about building.
Well, I think you need money to build, but it doesn't seem like your club wants to spend it.
No, I mean, it is frustrating because it looks like we're already being left behind in the market. You know, we always just leave it too late to bid for players. You know, by the time we're making bids, you know, clubs like Southampton and like Newcastle, for example, they're already had offers accepted and they can offer twice as much wage as we can, you know. And we always just leave it too late. It looks like we've already missed out on Osayi Samuel. Looks like we've already missed out on Matty Cash.
Where's Osayi Samuel gone?
Well, it's looking like he's off to Crystal Palace, Osayi Samuel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, there was rumours that he was going to Club Bruges, but those talks sort of broke down, so Crystal Palace have sort of swooped in and got him. But we just need to make sure that we do his business now. We have got an ageing squad, you know, which, as of right now, it's not too bad of a problem because the ageing players are still very good. You know, you look at the likes of Ben Mee, Ashley Westwood, Jay Rodriguez, Ashley Barnes, they're all still good enough to play for us. But we do need to invest in some youth now before we do need a major rebuild, before we need to sign Brighton. 6 or 7 players at once.
Before you end up like Brighton.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, we need to make sure that we're constantly adding fresh names. I mean, Josh Brownhill was a good start. He's been brilliant ever since the injury at Jack Cork and Goodmanson. But we need more than that. We need to bring in some younger players.
Danny Drinkwater.
Fuck me, Danny Drinkwater.
Why didn't I don't understand why a club like Burnley didn't go in for Angel Gomez? Got guaranteed football time then going to Lille.
I don't think he would have fit our system. But yeah, I just feel like we, you know, we don't need too much at the end of the day. I think the two positions that we do desperately need are another winger and another right back. But I think, you know, we don't desperately need like a big rebuild. We just need to build on, you know, what we have. Because this has been a great season. You know, like I said, we've matched our total points tally. You know, Chris Wood has scored the most goals in the top flight for Burnley since, you know, the 70s. Like, it's been a great season for us. We just need to make sure that we keep hold of key players and add to the squad. I mean, Dyche, I can't see him leaving now, especially with the dismissal of Eddie Howe. I feel like clubs are definitely more likely to go in for him than spend £10 million compensation to us to get Sean Dyche. And to be honest with you, I think McNeil's going to stay. Both him and his dad have been very vocal, saying that they understand that if they went to a big club, he wouldn't get as much game time. So I feel like that's an indication that he knows he's going to stay. It's just Pope and Tarkowski. I think Pope will stay. But, you know, I'm not super confident about that. If we do get an offer of 40, 50 million, we will probably accept that. And it would, for Pope, that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing as long as it's reinvested in the squad. For Tarky, it'd be disastrous because he's been the best player out of this season by far for us. But if we were to accept a big money offer for Pope or for McNeil, for example, it wouldn't be the worst thing as long as we invested it, and I wouldn't be confident that we would reinvest that money. So, I think we just need to keep hold of the core that we have and just build around that.
I'm looking at the players who are available on the free, and there's quite a few that I could see ending up at Turf Moor.
Why? Who are some of the names you're looking at?
Well, there's Umar Nias, Daniel Ayala, Boya Baston.
We don't need a fifth striker. That's Marcus the thing. We've got four quality strikers.
Yeah.
J-Rod and Chris Wood both have a goal every 200 minutes.
Yeah, but Vidra's shit.
Vidra's, he isn't shit. For a fourth choice striker,
what he was at Watford.
Yeah, for a fourth choice striker, he's fine. For a fourth choice.
Nah, he's a player you want. Mario Götze.
But there's no chance in hell that we'd get Mario Götze. No.
Could you get Nathaniel Klein?
We could, but I wouldn't necessarily want him.
Nampilis Mendy?
Mendy. Jordan Ibe I wouldn't want.
Marcus Henriksen?
Remind me, who did he play for?
He used to play for Hull. He was the centre mid.
How old is he?
He's 28, Norwegian.
I feel like there's better options that we could get.
Alex Garcia, 23-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of frees that we could pick up on. I just feel like...
Kevin Morales?
Nah, he's too old. We just need to buy youth. That's the thing.
There's Tom Carroll. He's on a free as well.
Yeah. He's like 26, isn't he?
28.
He's on the fence. We need to be buying players like Josh Brownhill around that 24, 25 age.
Well, there's a player, Mercer Sia. He's 20, but you're probably going to have to pay compensation to Monaco for him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just think we just need to buy some young players at the end of the day so that we don't have a major rebuild on our hands 18 months, 2 years down the line. We've been linked with players like Pukki and Troy Deeney.
Andre Green is available on a free.
Yeah.
You want Yaya Sanogo, don't you?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Elias Kachunga. Or Duncan Watmore. What do you make of Duncan Watmore?
My granddad's actually a Sunderland fan. I think he's all right, from what I've heard. But, you know, in terms of a Premier League player,
Do you want Zidane's son?
If we got rid of Pope, he'd be all right back up.
It's pretty bad when your own dad releases you.
I mean, you know, that was the thing that for about 10 years where wherever Steve Bruce got a job, he'd always sign Alex Bruce.
Yeah, there's a player that FIFA and Football Manager, they always big this guy up. Mark Stendara.
Marcus who?
Mark Stendara.
Who's he play for?
He used to play for Frankfurt and Hanover. I remember when he was at Frankfurt, his potential was really weird. It was like high 80s.
Yeah.
FIFA, at least. But he's obviously not someone who came to fruition.
No. We do need youth. I feel like that's obvious. Just so that we don't have to have a big re. You know, players like Westwood, like Jay Rodriguez, like you know, Ben Mee, they're good enough now. But 2 years down the line, I don't want to still be relying on them.
John Flanagan's available on a free, right?
Oh, God, I mean, you know, he actually wasn't that bad when he played for us. I mean...
He paid for you?
Yeah, he was on loan, 16-17 season. He was all right, but he was no better than Lawton.
Stephen Kingsley. I thought he was good in the Premiership with Swansea.
Mm.
That's obviously a world away now.
Yeah. I feel like if we spend, you know, £30 million on a winger and a fullback, then, you know, I think we'll be fine this season, at least. Because then we can bring in sort of, you know, £3 or £4 million pounds worth of players for other positions. Because we'll only need them for
backup. Is available on a free.
Who's that?
Johan Kabay.
Oh, he's past it, isn't he? Jesus.
Mapu Yanga Mbiwa.
Oh, Jesus, he's even more past it.
Yeah. There's not a lot of young lads. I suppose many kids, they'll be signed up pretty quick. When they're out
of contract. That's what I mean. Like, Matty Longstaff is off to Udinese, isn't he?
Is he?
That's what I heard, yeah.
Okay. He might go to Watford then. I think Newcastle might... Oh, he think he's going to Udinese and then they loan him.
Yeah.
So, other three players, Omar Abdullahi. He's a good player. Available on a free.
Yeah, but do you really think that Sean Dyche is going to sign him?
No. Eliasson?
Yeah. I mean, well, he's not on a free. He had a 12-month extension clause. But I feel like we need to be all over this kid, like genital warts, genuinely. Like, he is such a good player. 13 assists in the league last season, Championship. I feel like he'd be a really good player. And we need to be all over him.
There's a lot of good players, but they'd be on big wages.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because we've got a tight wage budget. I think our top earner is Chris Wood on 55k. So, you know, you don't want to break that wage budget, because as soon as you offer, you know, as soon as you bring in a player for like 60, 65k, then you've got players like Tarkovsky saying, oh, well, I'm worth 70k. And then Pope says, I'm worth 75k. And then, you know, you break that structure, and we can't afford to do that.
What about Carl Edwards from West Brom?
22? I mean, his backup, I guess, would be all right. But
yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, none of them are gonna. And then, but the obviously big free agents are obviously Cavani, Thiago Silva, David Silva, Pedro. Well, Pedro's gonna roam now. Callahan and all that. Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, but, you know, we've got no chances, seriously.
Oh, he's a good player that I rate. Yannick Herrera.
He's that lad from Schalke, isn't he?
Freiburg,
yeah, that's it. I mean, yeah, he's all right, but, you know, do we really need another forward? Like,
he's not a forward, he's a centre mid.
Really?
Yeah. Who are you thinking of?
I don't know.
You can get Choupo-Moting. Sort of.
Oh, I'm thinking mid. Of Berisha.
Oh, Valentin Berisha, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
Is it Valon or Valentin? Which one are you on about?
What?
The one who plays for Reims?
Berisha.
Yeah, there's a quite a common name.
He plays in Bundesliga.
Berisha. Oh, that Bersant Celina, I think he'd fit in your club.
Yeah, I mean, I won't mind him, to be fair. Well, he is a good
start, Berisha.
You what?
His name is Bersant.
No, it's not him. It's, he might not even play in the Bundesliga. He might play in Austria.
You're on about Valon Berisha.
No.
You used to play for Dusseldorf.
I think it's like M. I think his first name begins with like an M. He was like young.
Mergen Berisha.
That's his name, yeah.
Plays for Red Bull Salzburg.
Yeah.
Good player, yeah.
I mean, I don't like discussing him. We're not going to sign him. I wouldn't mind Chilino. I think he's decent.
Yeah, but essentially, no, I'll rate him. Well, if you're looking for an attacker midfielder, Berisha is only available for 7 million.
Hmm.
He's got Champions League experience and Bundesliga experience.
Yeah, I mean...
22 years old.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a decent option, but, you know, realistically, are we going to sign him? Not really.
What sort do you sort of go for English players?
Well, we tend to usually look at, not necessarily English players, but players in English league, you know. we don't really tend to look abroad in terms of scouting. I mean, the last player who we signed from abroad was Stephen Defoe, like a few years ago, I think.
And that worked, so I don't know why he didn't keep...
Well, I mean, from a business sense, it probably didn't.
Players are cheaper abroad.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, we have been linked with Joachim Mähler from Genk, who I think he'd be a good signing at right back if we can't get Matty Cash.
Oh, I read he's Matty Cash going to West Brom for 10 million or something.
Well, I read it's sort of a bidding war between Southampton and Sheffield United.
Joachim Mähler.
Joachim Mähler. Mahle. But the AE is that like weird thing when they're both together.
All right, yeah. I know you mean that.
Yeah.
Okay, how much do you realistically see Burnley spending? Because I think that's going to be key on where you finish.
In terms of net spend, I can't see us spending more than 30 million. But it's all about who we bring in. Because, you know, for 10, 15 million pounds, you can get a quality player.
I think 30 million for you, if you go abroad, that can get you 4 to 5 players.
Yeah.
It could easily be good rotation players.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't really need...
Free agency market.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but to be honest with you, I'd rather us spend 30 million on 2 players who get into the first team than 5 players who don't. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, we won't be in any danger next season. But
even though you're light on numbers?
No, we definitely won't be in danger. I mean, Dyche is not going. You know, I feel confident in saying that. And I don't think we'll get relegated whilst Sean Dyche is still our manager. I genuinely don't think that.
Well, do you think he'll walk before that even happens?
Yeah, you know, I can see him getting a job from a club what's a step up. And I think that'll be when he leaves. And then, you know, we'll go down. We will go down without Dyche. But I think until then, I think we'll stay up. Because he's just that good at getting the best out of his players.
So, with that being said, what if Spurs were to go in for him?
Oh,
if...
yeah, he'd go, 100%. But I can't see Spurs going in for him, that's fair.
No.
I can't see any of the big six going in for it. Purely because he's got that stigma about his style of football, you know. And I mean...
Well, it wins games. I don't see what the issue is.
Yeah, exactly. It's I mean, he has said... Watch.
I'll admit that, but it does the job.
Yeah, well, he said himself, you know, he plays the style of football that will get him results, you know. If he had better players, he would play better football, but he doesn't. So why would he play better football when he knows his players can't do it?
So why can't a team like Spurs go to him then?
Well, because there's that stigma around him, isn't there?
Yeah.
And also, he was sort of the first, you know, of the young English managers, you know. You know, it was him, and then Howe came up and sort of stole his thunder. And now Wilder's sort of stealing his thunder. And I'm sure next season, Scott Parker will probably steal his thunder, you know.
Nah, I don't see that with Fulham. Well, I hope not. I'm a hateful.
Well, no, I don't think Fulham will stay up. But I genuinely do think more people will be talking about Parker than Dyche, to be honest with you. And even Potter. Some people are talking about Potter as a better man.
He did dig Brighton out of that hole, to be fair. But
Dyche... You say he dug him out of a hole. They got like 4 or 5 more points than they did last season.
Yeah, but when he took over, they were in a hole. They couldn't win a game. And then you had him, you know, I don't know. But I do feel that sentiment isn't quite fair towards Dyche when he's a very consistent manager. He's guided a team like Burnley to the brink of Europe.
Yeah. And we would have got into Europe if we weren't unlucky with the draw. I mean, we've got Aberdeen, a very decent... We've got Istanbul Başakşehir, who are the champions of Turkey, yeah. And are in the Europa League last 16. And then we've got Olympiakos, who qualified for the Champions League this season, beat the likes of Spurs, and are also in the Europa League round of 16.
Beat Arsenal as well.
Yeah, beat Arsenal as well. On two legs.
Yeah, Istanbul Başakşehir will be in the Champions League next season. after winning the cup, which is really weird when you have players like they did have Adebayor. You have Gael Clichy as well. But I think Chris Wilder did steal the thunder because it was that won't they get in the Champions League, which Burnley have not been near.
Well, you say that. I mean, we were fourth on New Year's Day.
But they were fourth in March, and then lockdown happened.
Yeah, but you just say, you know, that we were never close. I mean, what?
Yeah, but I mean, they were close with it.
They were closer.
Yeah, but you still had 5 months to play. They had 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like saying, oh yeah, we were top on the first day.
Well, no, it's not, because it's half of the season.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, that's a valid point. Yeah.
I'm not saying we were as close as Sheffield United, because we weren't. I'm just saying that you said we'd never got anywhere near it. We have.
Okay. Well, they've got near it, but they've done it over a longer period then.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was my word. And I think Burnley have been really, their board is really strange. They're letting a player like Jeff Hendrick, who's linked with AC Milan, go on a free, which is very bizarre. And a player that is in two positions where they lack numbers, so bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a good servant. I mean, he's sort of been our James Milner. You know, he can play in any position that you ask him to. And it was just a case of he wanted a 3-year deal and we wouldn't give it to him, which I don't understand.
How old is he?
27, I think.
Oh, okay, that's dumb. Yeah, if he was like 31, like Willian is demanding a 3-year contract, then I can understand that.
Yeah.
But even then, like, even if they didn't want him, offer him a contract, get some money for him.
Exactly, yeah. You know, he's our third most expensive signing of all time, and we're letting him go on free.
Yeah, we did that with Torres, so. That's pennies to us, though. It's not pennies to you.
Exactly, yeah.
How much was Jeff Hendrick? Was he from Derby?
Yeah, he's from Derby. 13 million.
Gee.
And it looks like we're going to be letting our most expensive signing of all time go for basically pennies as well this season.
What, are Middlesbrough not going to cough up?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, there's a few clubs interested.
I can see Leeds getting him.
No, he's not going to get a Premier League.
So sort of an upper sort of Championship side?
Well, I think probably like a mid-table Championship side, to be honest with you.
Whenever
he's played for us, he's been shy. Well, I don't want to beat around the bush. He's been absolutely awful whenever he's played. You know, I mean, granted, he was good at Middlesbrough when he came in. But whenever he's played for us, he's been shy.
Okay. I think there's probably grounds to take him to court over, because he has a contract which he hasn't stuck by.
Well, I don't think we can sue him. I think it's because I think we'd let him go to train at Middlesbrough. So I don't think we could, which I think is stupid, you know. Why would we let him go? Just release him. Do you know what I mean? If he's not going to play for us, just release him. You know, and I think it shows the attitude as well of him when, you know, Ben Mee got injured, a left-footed centre back. You know, and Gibson's a left-footed centre back. You know, he was been begging for a chance for ages. You know, and what does he do when Ben Mee gets injured? This could finally be his chance to show himself to Sean. What does he do? Nothing. He just sits on his arse. You know, it just shows the attitude that he has. Yeah.
Who came in?
I'd much rather have a player like Kevin Long, who is happy to be a squad player. He knows his role. He knows what he's good at. And he knows that he's trusted to be called upon whenever he's needed. You know, that's the attitude that those sort of players have to have. Not someone who's going to go and cry back home to his uncle.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, you can't just demand a spot and then when that spot is opened up to you due to unfortunate circumstance, poo-poo it away. Because, you didn't give it to me earlier. Because it seems like he's not the type of player to show the manager what he wants. He wants to be given it and then prove the manager wrong in why he should have started him earlier.
Exactly, yeah. You know, like someone like Matty Vidra, you know, he was begging for a chance. You know, he wanted to go out on loan in January to prove himself. But we couldn't let him go because we had Ashley Barnes injured. And then Chris Wood got injured, so we brought him in, and he scored in his first game, and then he scored in his next game, you know. And now, Dyche trusts him, he's not going to be a starter, because at the end of the day, he's not good enough to start a whole season ahead of Chris Wood, Ashley Barnes or Jay Rodriguez. But Dyche trusts him now. He's not going to be giving him 2 or 3 minutes at the end of a game. He's going to be giving him half an hour to me. So he's proven himself. What's Gibson done? Sweet fuck all. So I'm glad to see the back of him. I hope he fucks off. And I hope that his funds fund a player that actually wants to be here. Because he clearly didn't.
Okay, so that concludes the top half of last season now, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we've been going for nearly 2.5 hours. So, you know, I don't think that we could have time to go through the whole bottom half as well as the promoted clubs. So, I mean, at some point, whenever, we'll release the second half. And, yeah, we'll talk about some interesting stuff. You know, the potential future of Danny Ings, you know, how clubs like West Ham, Everton are going to build on the failures of this season, how clubs like Aston Villa are going to fare, you know, whether they're going to be able to push up the table, and how the three promoted clubs, how Fulham, how Leeds, how West Brom, how they're going to fare next season. All that will be covered in the next episode of the podcast, released sometime. Right, well, Harry, have you got anything to plug before we go?
I'll plug my Twitter, at HazardChelseaFC.
Yeah, and I'll plug mine at IWGPChrisBFC, and you can follow the podcast at AntiFootballPod. Right, well, that is it, and you know, we'll see you whenever with the second half.